kids that come to our camp, you know, I tell them, I'm like, look, if we're in there to see you, we watch you from the second you get out of your car, the second you get back in your car. You know, we're watching how you treat your parents. We're watching what you do pregame. We're watching what you eat at the concession stand. You know, all those things, they're all important.
No good player has ever said, well, who else is going to be the shortstop? The best players just say, sign who you want. I'm going to beat them, right?
And the other thing for baseball players, if you want to be a great baseball player and play at the highest levels, then be an athlete first.
Hello and welcome to the Coach's Corner podcast, where the coaches hang out with Walter. Today's podcast is brought to you by the Baseball Blue Book. If it has to do with baseball, it has to be in the book. The question for you, are you in the book? Now let's join our host, Walter Beattie. Hello and welcome, Thursday edition of Coach's Corner. And before we get started, I want to encourage everyone that finds their way to this discussion today to go ahead and hit the subscribe button just to keep yourself up to date all of the latest discussions with college coaches throughout college baseball, all levels, all divisions, and hit that notification bell as well. Today, as a guest, I am excited. We are going to talk some Ivy League baseball with head coach of Cornell University, Dan Pepicelli. Dan, thank you so much for joining us today. I greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You're very, very welcome. You know, I get a lot of questions from parents who feel, I'm going to use the word intimidated about Ivy Leagues with regard to recruiting. It's kind of like this unknown animal. They don't do things the same way. That, at least that's the perception. Talk to us a little bit about your experiences at Cornell and what Ivy League baseball, in your opinion, is really all about.
Yeah, it's different. It is different. You know, just the timeline is a little bit different, I think, because we're waiting to see a little bit more of an advanced track in through high school. So we're not, you know, you're not going to find people in the Ivy League that are committing freshman, sophomore type, you know. So it's happening a little bit later, which is great. It gives you a little bit extra time to evaluate the player as well as they're getting bigger and stronger. But, you know, it's certainly different. You know, I had previously been at Clemson and, you know, that you're on the hamster wheel pretty good in recruiting early there. And then it was really quite a shock when I came to Cornell and we really, you know, slowed the process down quite a bit. We're looking for some track record from the prospective player in high school. What classes is he taking? Is he taking the hardest stuff that's available to him? And is he having success doing it? You know, those two things are really the big ones.
So when you're out and you're as a staff, and you're, when are you identifying potential student athletes that may be a fit for Cornell? Is that typically at the completion of their sophomore year in light of the new NCAA rules? Yeah. And are you identifying them out at various events, or do you prefer to have them come into your camps and kind of get a feel for them that way?
It's a combination of everything. You know, if you really, you know, we think of kind of recruiting in the Ivy League like a funnel. I mean, at the top is, you know, all these prospective players. And then do they have the grades? Do they fit a need for us? And do they have the baseball ability? Are they a Division I level player? As you work through those filters and get to the bottom of the funnel, you know, obviously there's a much smaller, you know, maybe 1 out of 10 or whatever. So in order for us to have a recruiting class that we're excited about, we have to be looking all over through our email, at video clips, at showcases, referrals from coaches, club coaches, high school coaches. So we don't really focus in any one area. We're just trying to get the top of that funnel through all those different areas, and then work our way through the process so we get somebody that's a good fit for us.
Now, as someone who has coached, you know, within the ACC and Clemson, and now within the Ivy League, you know, I have noticed the the abundance of talent now in the Ivy League is significantly better in the last over the last 4 to 5 years. What would you how do you see that? What's the reason behind that? Is it more students looking for that academic acumen and strength of the Ivy League? Is that what would you at least on the surface, would you attribute the academics with the rise of Ivy League baseball?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I think you're looking at, people are getting all the information now in an earlier point in their life. And what I mean by that is I think people are really considering much more, the 4 versus 40 idea we talk about. So if you put 4 years in an Ivy League school, we like to say we're preparing you for the next 40 years of your work life when you get out. And, what may look like, that they're getting, that's a Power Five school. Here's all the things they're getting over their 4 years. And if you can look down the road a little bit and say, hey, look where I'm going to be at over the next 40 years after I graduate, I think that message has played itself out. It's proven in the workplace. Where people are jumping off and starting their careers, the type of mentorship programs that are in the Ivy League really transitions you into the workplace at a really high level. So I think people are seeing that information and they're making that decision that, hey, I know I can't get an athletic scholarship in the Ivy League, but financial aid is good and it sets me up for the next 40 years of my life. I'm going to go ahead and make that decision,
So I try to get parents to understand this. Your schedules throughout the Ivy League, really, in the very beginning of the season, it used to be that, an Ivy League team would show up in the SEC and, first week in March. It's challenging throughout the Ivy League as far as when you first get your season underway. But kind of talk a little bit about the new changes with regard to you now have an Ivy League championship, which is new. And you do challenge yourself with regard to both your schedule and the quality within the Ivy League during the course of the season.
Yeah, well, we opened up at Georgia Tech this year, who's, certainly a powerhouse. And we went and played a James Madison team that had beat Arkansas, and they were a really good team. And then went down and played Richmond. We went down and played Georgetown. So we really challenged ourselves early in the year. And that's for two reasons. A, we want to give our players access to some of the big time college environments. Those are memories that are, they'll never forget. And then at the same time, we want to compete. We feel like we can be competitive. We were able to take a game from Georgia Tech this year to open the series. And we were really competitive in another game against them. So, that makes us better. And, we certainly want that schedule to be something that's hard and prepares us for Ivy League play. And that's what we think we do. Next year, we're playing Duke and Michigan State. And, we've got a pretty good schedule again every year. And that's not unique to us. I think if you look at all the Ivy League schools, we're getting out there trying to play the toughest that are out there.
So another topic that always comes to the forefront when talking with families, they are under the impression, the academic strength would be overwhelming. Can you just talk a little bit about, for all sports, not just baseball, at Cornell and Ivy schools, the academic support that student athletes receive with regard to peer tutoring, academic advisors, et cetera, that help them with regard to the being able to be an athlete as well as a student simultaneously?
Yeah. Well, I think college baseball and college sports in general has gotten really good. It was good at Clemson and it's really good at Cornell. There are resources out there for student athletes as they're coming in now. There's tutors, study groups, you've got peers that are on your team that are having success, which is a big deal. I mean, that's a really big part of it. That can sit next to a guy and say, hey, I know you got a C on that test. Don't freak out. This is what you got ahead of you. So those resources are really out there. I think the days of a kid going to school and getting, you know, no access to tutors or anything as a student athlete, that's probably gone, you know. The biggest thing that our guys say, and, you know, I'm going to brag on our guys for a minute, but we've gone 8 semesters where our team GPA has not gone below a 3.46. So we do very well in the classroom. And the thing our guys say all the time is, you know, you cannot procrastinate because there's never a better time to do it, you know. So when you can get to things, you need to stay on top of it and you need to stay ahead of it. That's the big deal.
And you try to tell parents that there's always a support system in place, regardless of the school, regardless of the conference, et cetera. Right. And I think that that is at least reassuring to those families that are looking into Ivy Leagues and, more importantly, Cornell. Can you talk to us? Your roster is, you know, West Coast to East Coast and a lot in between, Minnesota, California, New England. Do you have, you know, in today's world of college camps, does Cornell have a camp that you would prefer potential student athletes to attend?
Well, we're in a unique situation because the last 2 years we've built a brand new facility, and we just got all the certs we need from the town and everything. So we're going to open up our camps again this summer. We went 2 years without having them, but camp's a big deal. Camps for us are a little later in the process. We don't have them as early as some other people do. So by the time we're having our camps, we're pretty much down to 2 or 3 spots left, which is good. I really like that because I think it makes a – but every year that we've had camps, we've found guys out of our camps that we've added to our roster.
Do you tend to do any of the what I call ancillary camps throughout the country, whether it's show ball, et cetera? I mean, yeah. Do you go on out to the West Coast? Do you go into the Midwest, et cetera, and kind of look at those?
Yeah, we're out on the West Coast. You know, we do quite a bit with show ball, and, you know, Quakes Baseball runs a really good camp, top prospects. John and Britt Elliott do a really nice job, and we've gotten kids out of that camp every year too. So that's been good. You know, we're looking for a balance where we're trying to get to showcases and show up, and that's kind of like throwing out the net. And then once you see those players that you think may have that ability, well, then you got to watch them compete in a real environment, you know, because a showcase will tell you, you know, some of the tools that are available, but in terms of how they are as a competitor, you need to watch them play, you know? So it's really a combination of those two things.
What makes a good student athlete at Cornell? And when I ask that question, I ask it from the perspective, does it tend to be the well-rounded student with regard to maybe a multiple sport athlete, somebody that is accountable in the classroom? Yeah. What are some of the characteristics of a potential recruit that you kind of look out for when you begin the process with a specific student athlete?
Yeah, you just said it. I mean, that's a big thing. I like multi-sport. I think that's really good. I like seeing kids that are competing in a variety of ways, whether it be on the football field, you know, where you're really getting challenged in your grit, basketball, where you're up guarding somebody and it's, you know, so I do like multi-sport athletes. I wouldn't say it's a deal breaker if you're not, but I like that, you know. And I do like people that are, you know, that can tell me during the recruiting process where their grit comes from and how important it is to them, you know, because this is a challenge. I mean, it's a challenge. You're challenged in the classroom, certainly. You're challenged out on the field. You're challenged by the weather sometimes. You know, the Ivy League is all in the Northeast. There's no Southern Ivy League. So, and sometimes we get a harsh reminder of that, you know. So, but no, that's it. That's the right prospect for us. And then, you know, we have them out on a visit, and we have pretty long visits. Our visits last pretty much throughout the entire day, and we're spending there's some topics we really hit on when we sit down to talk, and we really want to feel good about it by the end of the day.
Is there a question that you tend to pose to student athletes or families that may or may not be a separator? You know, I know that every coach has a certain, you know, certain grouping of questions that they want to ask. Is there anything in particular that you can shed a little light on to a prospective student athlete as far as that interview?
Well, you know, guys now are pretty astute on what to say, you know, and which can be a good and a bad thing, right? So I'm trying to find out what the authentic student athlete is. Who is he really? What's he all about? You know, he knows what to tell me. He knows the things he needs to say in front of his parents. But I want to see what he's like, you know, when the authentic version of him, what is it? Is he tough? Is he motivated? You know, I like to say, you know, as well as we do in the classroom, it's not, well, academics come first. That's 1-1A, you know. We believe that there's plenty of time for you to be a great baseball player and a great student. You can make the most out of both of those opportunities, you know. But you got to find the right guy that can do that, you know. And then the thing, you know, I've said this in the past, and you know, for whatever it's worth, I really think, you know, I pay attention to how a student athlete's engaging with his mother during the visit. You know, how a guy engages with his mother tells you a lot about the type of house he's in, what his, you know, model relationships have been that he's grown up in. So I want to see a respectful kid. You know, I don't want to see a kid that's being a wise guy to his mom too much, and you know, I'm not down with brats. So.
The question I always get asked by some of the higher level student athletes when I go out to do some speaking engagements, you know, they always want to ask me about the major league draft and the Ivy League. And I tell them, and they're very surprised, if you go through the major league draft, you're going to see a significant number of athletes, student athletes that are drafted year in and year out. And you also, the Ivy Leagues are also very well represented. Cape Cod League, New England Collegiate League, some cases Northwoods League. Can you just talk to the perception versus the reality of the caliber of student athlete that is at the Ivy League level?
Yeah. Well, I would say this, you know, first of all, there's the schedule we just talked about.
Right.
And then, you know, scouting has become so efficient at gathering information. If you're a guy that's showing that aptitude, they know about you. There's no hidden, you know, right. used to be, you know, we all see the movies of guys driving to nowhere to watch a kid try. That stuff's over, right? If a guy hits 93, it's on the internet and everybody knows about it by the next day. So I think, you know, being able to get information out there on who are the guys that have that ability, you know, that's happening. Getting guys in summer leagues, you know, we all have a great track record of getting guys in the summer leagues that fit them. Now, you know, if you want to play in the Cape League, then, you know, you have to write your story. You have to be a talented player in the Ivy League. You have to have some success, and then, you know, those opportunities are there for you. But it is 100%. You will not be hampered in any way by playing in the Ivy League. You're not giving up your pro dream by any means. Because like you said, summer ball is there, and us being able to get your information out there is really easy.
So last question. Well, actually, I'm going to slip one more question in that I have to ask, because weather. And I want parents to understand, I'm going to digress quickly. You touched on it, and I'm born and raised in New England, lived in Massachusetts my whole life.
Right.
Talk to us about the challenges of playing. Yesterday, I watched Brown play Holy Cross, and, you know, it's a 40-degree day, a little blustery, windy, and Ides of March, et cetera. There is some mental toughness and physical toughness that you have to play in upstate New York and New Hampshire and Rhode Island, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, et cetera. Just talk a little bit about the mindset that it requires when you come back from that southern trip at Georgia Tech or down south, and we come back into the baseball climate of March in the Northeast. There is some differentiating. You have to be able to have that mental capacity to go out and compete.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where, you know, if you have grit in general, you'll be fine. You'll be fine, you know, being comfortable with being uncomfortable. You know, that's part of the challenge. That's where real growth comes from, whether it be academically, whether it be on the baseball field. You know, a guy that has grit, he does just fine no matter where he's at. You know, if a guy doesn't have grit, weather is just another thing on his list of that takes him off his track of being the best he can be, you know. And, you know, we practice in it quite a bit. And we're challenging grit in other ways, whether it be in the weight room or you know, the schedule we compete against. So, you know, we're going to find out pretty quickly if you have the grit that it takes to have success here. And we're going to find out pretty quickly whether this is something you need to really work on and focus on and grow with, or if you have what it takes, you know. So.
And I love that word grit, which is why I came back to this. You know, and I try to tell parents sometimes – the separator is not skill. The separator is here. And, you know, Clint Hurdle has this phrase, nuts and guts and want. And I think that is a big part of the separation for student athletes. So I'm so glad that you were able to touch upon that. Now, the final question is going to be, how would you prefer to have potential student athletes and or their family members contact Cornell with regard to email, video? What is your preferred method?
I think an email is great with a video. You know, that certainly gets it going. And with some, you know, a short kind of bulleted points of who you are and, you know, what are you looking for and who are you? So when I say who are you, you know, what's your size? What are you looking to study? What year are you in school? What's your grades like? That's who you are. And here's my video link, you know? And we, you know, every one of those goes through the process. You know, both of my assistants were, you know, all three of them, we have a volunteer as well. We're all sifting through guys as they're coming through. So we look at them you know, we're trying to see what jumps off the page and who are guys we get excited about, you know. And then, you know, so like I said, those bullet points that talk about who you are, and then a link is good in terms of a video link and it doesn't need to be game footage. It can be, hey, here are 10 of my swings. Here's me taking some ground balls. Or if you're on the mound, hey, here's my side pen, you know. So that's a good starting point. I certainly think that any of the correspondence should be done from the student athlete and not his mom or dad. You know, we're recruiting you. And, you know, as funny as it sounds, and this has become a much bigger thing over the last few years, be accurate with what you're sending out. You got to proofread it. You know, we are getting more and more and more. And when I say more, a lot more of these emails where it's got one coach's name that's wrong, the university's wrong, and I get it. You know, you're trying to do this for the first time, but just got to proofread your stuff because you only get one chance to make a first impression, you know?
Amen. And they always ask, should they include a transcript or not?
Yeah, well, it certainly is. Eventually we're going to ask for that. So, and it doesn't need to be an official transcript. It can be an unofficial transcript. And, you know, we're going to pop that thing open. And again, we're going to see, have you challenged yourself academically and have you had success? And those are the two things that we're looking for. And so if you don't send that thing along and we do like you, we're probably sending you back an email saying, hey, can you send us an unofficial transcript?
Well, I want to say thank you. I know we're in season and this is the busy time of year. And Dan, it's an absolute pleasure to have the opportunity to chat with you. Dave, Coach Serrano sends his best. He is in the midst of his season at Johnson University. He'll be rejoining us as his season concludes in May. But best of luck throughout the season. I know the Ivy season starts this upcoming weekend. And please say hello to Scott. And if there's anything that we can do for you at any point in time, please reach out to us. And parents, I really want to let you know, Cornell, all the Ivy Leagues, Princeton, Penn, Dartmouth, Brown, Harvard, Yale. They are tremendous universities, obviously academically, but athletically, they are a true academic athletic environment for your potential student athletes. So go ahead and reach out and attend those camps if you have an interest specifically in Cornell University. Dan, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.